Elena's going to come sing special for us. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Well, we don't have a special tonight, Brother Derek. You come preach to us.
Good, because it's hard to bring up the second act after the first act, the first good act. So, amen. Well, it's good to see all of y'all here tonight. How many of y'all got a runny nose? Raise your hand. How many of y'all got a sore throat? Raise your hand. How many of y'all got a bad cough? Raise your hand. All right, we're all in good company tonight. Good company. Amen. All right. Let me ask you to do a favor for me tonight, too. If it gets close to 8 o'clock, go ahead and start waving your hands at me. Go ahead and start flagging me down, because I don't pay attention to the clock back there. It's just distracting. And once I get going, I get going. So y'all go ahead and wave me down, and remind me tonight. I know it closer to 8 o'clock. Closer. Okay, give me at least a few minutes. All right, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is where we'll start tonight. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4. Let's sing. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter His courts with praise. All right. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Amen. I hope He's made you glad tonight. Luke chapter 4, verse number 36. We'll start there. Amen. Luke chapter 4, verse number 36. Luke 4, verse 36. The Bible says, and they were all amazed, all amazed. They, the people that had come to hear Jesus, they were all amazed. And spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? What a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. That little phrase there, what a word is this? Let's pray. Father, thank You for this evening. God, thank You for all You've done. And Lord, I don't want it just to be a Thanksgiving part of the year where we come to You and just thank You over and over and again. But God, all year, we have so much to be thankful for. We have, Lord, You and what You've done in our lives, how You have, Lord, saved us, given us a life, Lord, that we could never dream of. God, and we thank You so much for loving us. For giving Your life for ours, for saving our souls, and God giving us eternal life with You one day. God, thank You so much. Lord, I pray, God, that You bless this evening. Thank You for all that came. I pray that You'd heal those that are sick right now. Lord, help us, God, to feel better. And Lord, I pray that You'd be with those that are sick at home. And Lord, help them, God. Please, I pray that You'd raise them up, lift them up, allow them to feel better, Lord, this evening, this week. Please, God, just allow these sicknesses, the things that are going around, to pass. And Lord, I pray that You just please heal us here tonight. We love You, Lord. We ask You for Your mighty word to work in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, what a word is this? The Bible is the word of God. Let me tell you, what a word is this? What a word is this? Turn me down just a little bit, Miss Kim, just a little bit so I don't bust out anybody's eardrums. But what a word is this? What a word is this Bible? The Bible is the Word of God, and there is no other book like it, because there's no other God in heaven like we have tonight. No other book, no other God. Let me tell you, there is a Word of God, and what a word we have in this book tonight. The Word of God is absolute. The Word of God is amazing. The Word of God is our heavenly bread. The Word of God is bountiful. The Word of God is correct and it's comprehensive and it's convicting. The Word of God is direct and it's delightful to read each and every day. The Word of God is excellent and it's exhaustive beyond our human comprehension. The Bible is firm, and bless God, it's going to be forever. His word is settled in heaven forever. The Word of God is great, and thank God it guides us each and every day. The Word of God is help for the hurting. The Word of God is inerrant and infallible. The Word of God is justifying, and bless God, it tells us about Jesus Christ. The Word of God is. Let me tell you, the Word of God is kept by the power of God, and it's kept by those who love Christ. The Word of God is loving, and it lifts us up. The Word of God is mighty to save, and the Word of God is marvelous to our eyes. The Word of God is not in vain. The Word of God is open to all who believe. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is quality, quality reading, quality living. The Word of God is quantity. Oh man, the measures and the fullness that is in this book right here. The Word of God is redemptive. The Word of God has the words of redemption in it. The Word of God is receivable to you and I as we read it and as we hear it, we can receive it. The Word of God is sanctified and it's safe and secure all around. The Word of God is terrific. The Word of God is unique and unequal to any other. The Word of God is victorious and it's vast beyond our imagination. The Word of God is wonderful and it works. The Word of God works. It works in our lives. It works in others' lives. It'll work in this world, the Word of God. The Word of God is yielding, and it's yearning to be read. It's yearning to be believed. It's yearning to be used. And the Word of God is zealous. It's zealous about our Savior. It's zealous about our God. It's zealous about everything that heaven has to offer to us. What a word is this that we hold in our hands, that we get to take home, that we get to open up each and every day, that we get to come and fellowship around and come and hear from each and every Sunday and Wednesday. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for what He's done in our lives through His Word. And I can agree with the people that were around Jesus this day as He was teaching, and they were all amazed, and they spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? What a word is this?" I saw this about several years ago, this little phrase, and man, I was like, wow, that's in the Bible? What a word is this? What a word is this? It explains the Bible. It shows the truth. It shows the power of God right here. And it's in these few simple words. What a word is this? What a word is this? Just look at this chapter alone, Luke chapter number 4, and the references that it has to the Word of God. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 13, is the temptation of Jesus Christ by that wicked one, the devil. He takes him up into a high mountain and tells him to jump off of it. He takes the stones after he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he tempts the Lord Jesus Christ to make those stones into bread that he may consume them upon his flesh and upon his lust. He takes them up to the pinnacle of the temple, and the temptation that Jesus endured over in this chapter. And what did he come back with? He came back with the Word of God. What a word is this? In verse number 14 through 44, we see the preaching and the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ open up. We see Him in Galilee and then in Nazareth, His hometown. We see how that He said a prophet is not without honor except in his home country. We see Him how He read the Word of God. We see Him how He preached the Word of God, how He taught the Word of God. We see in these last few verses how that He cast out devils, how He healed the sick, how He amazed the people about the Word of God. What a word is this? What a word is this? In verse number 4 of this chapter, Jesus says, "It is written." In verse number four, again in verse number four, Jesus said, by every word of God. Just the references alone in this chapter to the word of God. Verse number eight, again Jesus said, it is written. Verse number 12, Jesus said, it is said. Verse number 16, he stood up for to read there in the synagogue that day. Verse number 17, he found the place where it was written. Guess what? He was handed the word of God that morning there in the synagogue, and he found the place where it was written. In verse number 18 and 19, Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. In verse number 21, the Bible says, in this scripture is fulfilled this day in your ears. Verse number 22, the people said gracious words. They were talking about the word of God. In verse number 25 and verse number 26, Jesus again quotes 1 Kings 17, verse 9 through 18, verse 1, about Elijah and the widow woman there. In verse number 27, he quotes 2 Kings chapter number 5 about Naaman the leper. In verse number 31, he taught them the word of God. In verse number 32, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They said this is a word with power. In verse number 36, we have the phrase that we're going over tonight. What a word is this? In verse number 44, Jesus preached the word of God. The word of God. What a word is this? Bless God, if we don't have hope this evening, if we don't have anything to run to when we need help, if we don't have an answer to the questions that are brought before us, even in our own lives, we don't have anything. But let me tell you, we have a word of God. We have a firm foundation to stand upon. We have the holy written word of God, the very essence of God in a book. That we can know Him, that we can serve Him, that we can love Him, that we can worship Him, that we can be with Him in His Word. What a word is this? What a word is this? I just like that phrase. What a word is this? If you go home with nothing else tonight, what a word is this that each one of us have in our hands this evening, that this whole world could have this evening. What a word. What a word is this? Oh, let us be like the people that heard Jesus speak and say, what a word is this? But I like to take one word, one thought tonight, and remind us around this Thanksgiving time of year that we ought to be so thankful. And we could easily say, what a word is this. Not only do we have the written word of God and the mighty, powerful word of God, but I'd like to take one word tonight for the sermon and remind us of how one word, if we reminded ourselves about this word, how thankful we could be at this Thanksgiving time of year. We ought to be so thankful and say, what a word is this? This word has such a broad meaning, but its definition is very simple indeed. So many take this word for granted today, and they've even turned this word that I'm going to tell you here in a few minutes into an entitlement position for themselves instead of a very respected privilege that they have in Christ. Some have tried to replace this word with softer, prettier, easier, politically and religiously correct phrases and words. But let me tell you this evening that once you have experienced this word that I'm going to tell you about in your life and have been given the manifold riches and blessings that it gives over and over and over again, when it is spoken and then when it is retold, you're going to remember, what a word is this. Not only do we have the word of God, but this word that stuck in my that the Lord brought to my mind for this message this evening, man, what a word is this. Salvation is summed up by this one word. The redeemed life is explained by this one word. The soul that is born again can give a testimony and solidify his witness by announcing this one word. Every hell-bound soul that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be this one word. What a word is this? And that wonderful word I'm going to tell you or remind you again about tonight is the word saved. 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 Saved, how I love, or that's redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Man, I get all messed up when I start trying to, saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. And then we have the chorus, glory, I'm saved, glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. I know, just stick to preaching. Don't get into singing, all right? Saved. Think about it this evening. Think about it. No other words could replace this word right here tonight. We could use other words. Some try to change this word to other fancier, sophisticated words and phrases. They may say, I made a decision for Jesus Christ. They may say, I've committed my life to Jesus Christ. They may say, I have a relationship with God through the Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son. They may say, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. But nothing can replace this one word when you use it and when you proclaim it and you say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. What's wrong with the old Bible word saved? What happened to when people would stand up and say, you know what happened to me one day? I got saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what happened to my life, my wreck of a life, my wreck of a home? I've got saved by Jesus Christ. He saved my soul, and there's no other word that could explain it. Just like this word. What a word is this? Saved. Saved. How come so many Christians have left this word of saved? How come so many people have gone away from this one simple word that sums up all of salvation by saying, saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved from the wrath to come. I'm saved out of the pits of hell. I'm saved from the wrath, from the fire of that bottomless pit. I'm saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. That word, as I read this and as I thought about it, what a word is this? The word saved. It's about time for us to get back to saying that I'm saved. It's about time for us to use that word when we're amidst our friends and our family and the people that we work with. Say, hey, bless God, you know what happened to me one day? I got saved. I got born again. I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus saved me. God saved my sorry, my sinful, my wicked, my hell-bound soul. I'm a devil's hell. He saved me from burning in an everlasting fire. He saved me from falling in a bottomless pit. He saved me from being in anguish and torment and not having to go through any of that pain because He saved me. He didn't just only just put me outside of that. He didn't just allow me to make a decision for Him one day. He didn't. I didn't commit myself or my life to do anything for Him. He saved me. Bless God. He saved me. He did so much for me, and He's given so much to me. And bless God, it's because one day He saved me. He saved me. What's wrong with that old Bible word, saved? What a word is this? Saved is a Bible word, and it describes the wonderful work of Jesus Christ to redeem our souls. Just as a victim of a burning house fire, or one who has been trapped in a fiery car crash, who cried out for someone, anyone to rescue them, anyone to come and take them out of that horrible position, from dying in that horrible state, and they would gladly and loudly shout as they were rescued from there,
Thank God I was saved out of that fire. Just as a shipman that was overboard and lost at sea, drowning in the waves, tossed and gasping for each and every breath, yelling and screaming for someone to throw out the lifeline, for someone to throw out the lifesaver, that they could hold on to something firm, that they would be saved out of that, out of those waters. As the lifeline and the lifesaver are in his grasp, he would proclaim with the same fervor that he used to scream out for help and to call for help, "I'm saved from this watery grave." Just as a soldier realized that he was trapped and surrounded by the enemy and had no more ammunition, no options of escape, he calls out over the airwaves, gets out his old, Brother Bob could give you all the terms for the CB and all of that, but he gets out and he cries out over the airwaves and he prays and he begs for reinforcements, someone to rescue and fight the enemy. Only after the battle is done and the victory is won to boldly stand up and say, "I was saved out of the heat of the battle. I was saved out of the enemy's harm. I was saved." And it's about time that you and I, as we get back to proclaiming that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, that we're excited about what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. What a word is this? Not only, hey, bless God, this word is our all in all. This word is everything that you and I could ever need and ever wish for and ever hope for. We can find our sustenance in it. We can find our breakfast, lunch, and dinner in it. We can find anything and everything that we need from the Lord here in this word. But let me tell you about another word tonight. What a word is this? And that little word is saved. 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 It's about time that the kids got back to using. I got saved. I remember when someone would get saved, get led to the Lord, and they'd stand up at testimony time. They didn't have all the right and religious words that we have today. They didn't have all the nice ways to say it. They didn't have the 12-step disciple program to where they knew exactly what to say, but they said, "Oh, brother so-and-so saved me out there. Brother so-and-so, I got saved, and they just stand up and praise the Lord and say, "I got saved. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved from hell. That's what I am." Exodus chapter 14, saved is a Bible word, and it's all through the Bible. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 30, the Bible says, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians. Numbers chapter 10, verse number 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. When's the last time you told somebody that you were saved? When's the last time you told somebody how you got saved? When's the last time that you boldly stood up and you said, "Bless God, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved to the uttermost. There's nothing that the devil can do, nothing that hell can do, nothing that I can do to get out of being saved, because I was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved." It's about time that we remember what Jesus has done for us and remember that He saved us. Joshua 6, verse number 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her family's house, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. How did Rahab? Why was she in Israel? Because she got saved. Because she had faith in the Lord, that He was the only God, that He was the one that could deliver her, that He was the only one that could save her. She got saved that day. The Bible says also in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 23, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Haven. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let me skip on over to the next few verses that we find this, what a word like this in. And it's the word save. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse number 14. The Bible says, and they set themselves in the midst of that partial and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. I love that word saved because it means delivered. It means that you were delivered from something. That word saved means that you were rescued from something. And bless God, if you haven't bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and you haven't asked the Lord to save your soul, you haven't been saved, you haven't been rescued from that pit of hell, you haven't been delivered from the penalty of death. Did you see that one? Okay, just making sure you're watching it. I've got things all flying out because I'm excited about being saved. I don't know if any of y'all see that, but I see it as soon as it goes off my lips. So that's the reason I had to stop. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Israel." He saved them. God's describing what that word saved mean, and it means that God delivered somebody, God rescued somebody, God went to the help and to the aid of somebody that could not help and aid themselves. God reached down and He pulled them out of a miry pit, and He set their feet upon a rock, and He saved their souls. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 18, verse number 3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be saved, so shall who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemy." See, I'm all excited about the word saved. Psalms 34, verse number 6, "This poor man..." How many of y'all are poor? "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of some of his troubles." The Bible doesn't say some of his troubles, all of his troubles. This man right here cried, and the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. Psalms 44, verse number 7, "But thou hast saved us from our enemies." Psalms 80, verse number 3, "Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." The Bible says in 106, verse number 8, Psalms, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake." Not because we deserved it, not because we did something great to get it, but because his namesake, because God is worthy to save souls. God is gracious to reach down and to save a poor sinner that cannot save himself. "Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Verse number 10 of that same chapter, "And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy." That's the devil. The Lord saved them from the hand of him that hated him. The devil hates each and every soul. He hates each and every person on this world. And the Lord saves us out of the hand of the devil, and out of the hand of hell, and out of the hand of sin. And those that hate us, God saves us out of their hands and redeems us from those enemies. Psalms 107, verse 13, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses." Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 12, "I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 17, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." God has a way to, what a word is this? How God puts it in just plain English right in front of our faces. "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation." We don't just get saved for a day. We don't just get saved until we sin next time. We don't just get saved until we get baptized. We don't just get saved until we get faithful in the church. Bless God, we're saved with an everlasting salvation. God's salvation is forever. There's no oops. There's no maybes. There's no, well, if you would have done this. Nope. God's salvation is forever. God's salvation is everlasting. God's salvation is wonderful. Isaiah chapter 45, were you trying to flag me down? Is it 8? Okay, all right. I thought she was flagging me down. All right. Isaiah 45, verse number 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. God is the only one that can save. Muhammad can't save. The Pope Benedict, the Paul, the Francis, the Green, the Purple, whatever his name is, the Cardinal, cannot save you. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. God is the only one that can save. Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto the Lord and what He did for each and every one of us and be ye saved. Call on the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. The Bible also says, let me flip pages, bless God, I'm getting excited about this word. What a word is this about being saved. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. Jeremiah had it right. He can heal and He can save. And when He does both of them, or when He does one of them, He does it. He saves and He heals this evening. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 42. This has always caught my attention. When the Pharisees and the other guys were standing there at the cross, they mocked God, they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, and they reviled on Him. And they were looking up to Him, and they said, He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. He saved others. Oh man, that spoke volumes to me, because you know what? He did save others. On the cross of Calvary, He saved others. That's what He was doing on the cross. When He stretched out His arms, He went there to save others. Himself He cannot save. It may have been a mockery to those Pharisees. It may have been a mockery to those whoever else was there at the cross that day. But they were speaking the truth, because Jesus did save others by His death. He saved you and I by His death. He saved all those that will come to Him by faith, trusting in Him. He saved others. And Himself He cannot save, because He went there to save me. He didn't go there to save Himself. He went there to save me. Mark chapter 16, verse number 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Luke chapter 7, verse number 50. And he said unto the woman, thy faith hath given thee a reward in heaven. Nope, he didn't say that. He didn't say thy faith will be counted one day for righteousness for your sake. Nope. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. If ever Jesus was going to make another way of salvation or tell us how to be saved, it would have been right here where He said, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath saved thee, because that woman was placing her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, as we place our faith in Him, He will save us, and we can go in peace. Luke chapter 18, verse number 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith in the Lord Jesus Christ hath saved thee. What a word is this? Saved. Saved. Have you forgotten that word? Have you forgotten that Jesus saved you? Have you forgotten what God did for you? Have you forgotten that simple word? Saved. Saved. It's about time that Baptists got back to using saved. It's about time that we kicked out the old Billy Graham and the Franklin Graham, to where they say we're going to make decisions and we committed our lives and we gave our hearts to the Lord. Let's get back to saying, bless God, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Usually when I hear a testimony on the radio or on TV or something like that, I can tell what kind of background they had by the words that they used to explain their conversion, by the words that they used to tell me that they got saved. I can tell what kind of background. And it's being few and far between now, between Baptists, where I don't hear the word saved anymore, where I don't hear the word that they got saved out of a devil's hell, to where their life was given a new creation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they stand up and they say, I got saved. Let's get back to using this old Bible word of saved, being saved. John chapter 3, verse number 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I'm in John, so you know I'm getting closer to Revelation. John chapter 5, verse number 34, "But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, talking about the Word of God, Jesus said, "These things I say that ye might be saved." That ye might be saved. John 10:9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, find pasture." Acts chapter 2, verse number 21, the pattern for the church here in the New Testament. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. Not maybe, not hopefully, not can be, but shall be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. "Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Y'all already know what word I'm going to say, what word we're going to use, but I just want to show you that the Bible is chock full of this word. What a word is this? Saved. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. "Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Everybody say that for me right quick. Saved. Saved. Whereby we must be
saved.
Amen. Doesn't it feel good? Whereby we must be
saved.
Saved. Saved by the blood. Saved by the Lord. Acts chapter 11, verse number 14. "Who shall tell thee the words? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" Acts 16, verse 30. "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to live a good life and to have a religious upstanding in front of everybody else?" That's not what the Philippian jailer said. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't ask what he must do to inherit a lot of money, or to be profitable, or to be productive, or to live a happier life. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's no other way. You've escaped. Something's happened in here tonight. My head's going to be chopped off. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved out of this horrible situation?" Their answer to him that night was, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans chapter 5, verse number 9, Bible says, Much more than, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Much more than, being now justified by Jesus Christ's blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We're saved from the penalty and for the payment of our sins to God. We're saved from that. We don't have to die and go to hell. We don't have to die and spend an eternity without God. We don't have to be down there with all the ungodly, all the ones that have rejected our Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. For we are saved," Romans 8:24, "for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for?" Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That they might be saved. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be," come on,
saved.
"Thou shalt be saved." And Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be
saved."
Saved. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, to them that die and go to hell, to them that live in destruction and destroy lives, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, preaching is the power of God." To us which are saved, preaching is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 10:33, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might have riches and run successful businesses and have a bunch of houses and real estate and have a nice car and a good family and some friends here and there. Nope. My desire is that I lost my place, that they might be saved. They might be saved. 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. For by grace, God's grace, are you saved through faith. Isn't this exciting about how salvation is come from God, how that God is the only one that can save your soul? Are you excited about being saved? Are you happy about being saved? Doesn't that word just do, it does to me, and I'll be quiet here in a few minutes if you don't like it, but bless God, being saved does something to me, because it was a real thing that happened to me years ago, to where Jesus Christ saved my soul. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he did what? He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 3:20, which were sometimes disobedient, that was me, which were when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person. Noah was a saved man because the Bible says that God saved him from dying in the flood there. Jude 1:5, the Bible says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. In Revelation 21:24, the last verse about being saved, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Walk in the light of what? Heaven. I know. I'm closing up. I'm shutting the door. All right? But I want to get out to you this evening. What a word is this? What a word right here. What a word is this old black book that you and I get to read, we get to hold, we get to handle, we get to be around. What a word. What, just alone, bless God, what a word is this, and the words that are contained therein. What a word is this. Let me tell you about an old word that I'm so thankful for tonight. Now I can praise God as we celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. I can stand up and shout. I can sit down and pray. I can praise the Lord about, thank God that He saved me. Thank God that He saves. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the redemption business. He's still in the born-again business. There's no other business to the Lord but the salvation business. And God still wants to save those who are not saved. There's only two types of people, the saved and the not saved. The saved and the lost. There's only two types of people in this church, in this world, at your work. There's only two kinds of people. Saved, not saved. Saved by the Lord, not saved by the Lord. Saved, 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 saved. What a word is this? Saved. 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 Let's all stand. Let's all stand.